there is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, Tim Dennis, my producer and co-host. Tim and I are running a little ragged this evening. We've been up all night last night. We were out filming a possible pilot here for a paranormal show. So for the local Minnesota area, we had a great time doing that. And I want to take a quick minute to thank the really nice people over at the American Lodging and Suites in Hastings, Minnesota. They were kind enough last night to help get us set up and have room and place for us to sit and talk and do our meetings for the show last night. They were fantastic. So if you get a chance and you're looking for a place to stay when you come to visit Minnesota, it's nice. It's centrally located. You can get to the Mall of America within about 15, 20 minutes. You can get just about anywhere that you need to in the Twin Cities within about 20-minute drive. Visit the American Lodge and Suites of Hastings. Their address is 2400 Vermilion Street in Hastings, Minnesota, 55033. And you can reach them directly by calling their phone number at 651-437-8877. Again, that's 651-437-8877. Say hi to the general manager, Jean Fernie, and let her know that you're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Radio, and we referred you to check in with her. Got a good show for you coming up tonight. We've got a bunch of really intriguing topics to cover. We've got the author Jerry D. Coleman will be joining us in a little bit, talking to us about his books, Strange Highways and More Strange Highways, A Guidebook to America's Mysteries and the Unexplained. Also wanted to just take a few seconds here since... Well, since it is my radio show, Tim, I feel that I can go ahead.
It is?
Yes.
I thought we were owned by somebody.
No, we own it.
We do?
Yeah. Remember?
When did that happen?
Well, we sent in the 4 box tops to Kellogg's.
Yeah?
And $2.99. That's how we got our own radio show.
And they bought it?
Yeah.
Sweet.
So we own it. But since it's mine, I can go ahead and, you know, throw out props and shout-outs and all of the things the kids are saying today.
You go, homie.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I want to congratulate my son, Clifford Warren Schrader II, who graduated with distinction this last weekend from high school in Florida. So congratulations, son. I'm very proud of you. You did fantastic. Cliff is going off to join the Navy in December. So everybody make sure to keep him in your blessings and well wishes and good thoughts to keep him safe with all the crazy stuff that's going on out there in the United States. Cliff's coming up to Minnesota to live with me for about 6 months here before he goes off in the Navy, so I get to spend some time with him. He gets to spend a little bit more time with his little brothers and sisters, so it should be a nice little opportunity. But he did fantastic, and like I said, graduated with distinction. So I'm very proud of you, son, and I just wanted to make that mention on the air. Now, going forward, on the line with us, we have got a gentleman from the Minnesota chapter. He's the I believe, is it the president, Mr. Moss? Is that?
It's got a title, state director.
Okay, well, the state director of the Minnesota MUFON, and his name is Dick Moss. And Mr. Moss is here to talk to us a little bit about what MUFON is, and if you have an interest in joining it, he's here to tell you how you can go ahead and do that as well. Good evening, and welcome to the show, Mr. Moss.
Well, thank you very much.
So can you tell us, what exactly is MUFON?
Well, it's an acronym for Mutual UFO Network, and it's just looking at the most recent journal that they've published monthly. We're on issue number 457. I got the calculator out that translates into, I think it's 38 years and 1 month they've been in existence, and it was started by a Motorola engineer. Fellow that worked for Motorola, and he called it Midwest UFO Network at the time. And basically what he was interested in doing is simply producing this magazine, which contains some information for anybody that wants that type of thing. Plus, he got into at the time all kinds of things about, including field investigator training, so that if people would go out and try to investigate a sighting or some other more serious incident, they knew what questions to ask and how to handle the situation.
All right. Now, is there a lot of activity in the state of Minnesota with UFOs?
Well, I think there's activity all the time. It's just a case of whether or not, you know, anybody sees anything. Interestingly, I think it was in last month's journal or the month before, this an advertising now this based on some electronics of some kind the fellow has produced is manufacturing UFO detectors. And if an oscillating magnetic field, we know from the very first day in 1947 that this thing got started. A prospector nearby where the Kenneth Arnold sighting occurred, seven disc I think it was, flying sort of erratically through the mountains. This prospector had a wristwatch with a compass on it, and this compass was spinning. So right away we knew that there was some kind of a connection between pulsating magnetic fields and magnetism from these parent craft, whatever they are.
All right. Now, with MUFON, people can join. There's chapters in every state. Is that correct?
There are a couple, three. I understand that right now there are no, that it's part of sparsely populated areas. The opportunity is there for chapters to exist, state organizations in every state. The Minnesota group formed about 20 years ago, and we started out with five members, and we just met up at the Anoka County Library, I think it was, for a while. And one thing led to another, and pretty soon we were, you know, I guess if we had all of the members, they were, okay, let's put it this way. The people that come to our meetings, some of them belong to MUFON and some of them do not. And so we don't say that you have to be a MUFON member to come to our meetings, although some states do have that.
Okay.
It's in most of the states, any, if I were to go to South Dakota or North Dakota, there are not many members there. I'm sure I'd get active, you know, if I were to move away or something like that, I'd stay with it.
Where can people look up information on MUFON? Is there a specific website that you can direct people to?
MUFON.com, MUFON.com. That's the international organization that's located in Littleton, Colorado.
And there's links on there for people to check so they can find out if there's a chapter in their state, correct?
Yeah, on the main, there's a place for the state organizations. Our particular one in Minnesota is just minnesotamufon.org. It's MNMUFON.org.
And how can people sign up?
Well, if a person wants to join the Mutual UFO Network, you can do that online. In fact, they prefer it. You just give them your name and address, whatever they ask for. In fact, on their web page, I think there's up in the upper left-hand corner, you can pull down a little menu, and one of them is how to become a member or something like that. And or you can get their address and send them a check for $45, and that gets you 12 issues of the magazine, and that goes on for 1 year. I figured it out one time. I think I did my math right. Belonging to MUFON costs less than smoking a cigarette a day.
Oh, so it's definitely worth it, and you get some more education instead of just killing people with secondhand smoke. Is that what you're saying?
That's about it. Okay. Give up the smoking and join the organization.
Mr. Moss, have you ever thought about throwing that at Governor Pawlenty in lieu of a health fee?
Yeah, well,
having people subscribe to MUFON instead
not,
of getting off of
now
cigarettes.
Now that you mention it, yeah. Think about that.
Are there, with the meetings that you do they just cover UFOs? I thought I'd read that a while back you had some speakers that were in talking about Bigfoot and different anomalies. Is that right?
That's right. When you have a group like ours that are interested in UFOs, typically, and I find myself sharing in that, we're interested in other things also. And Bigfoot is one of them. We have a new member, in fact, that has seen one in northern Minnesota. And know other people that have seen them actually fairly close to the Twin Cities occasionally. And other kinds of paranormal situations do become, and a lot of conspiracy. The people that are into UFOs, we know about government cover-ups and why, you know, the government wants to cover up, and it upsets people.
Sure.
And so there's sort of a built-in distrust of the powers that be. And you know, those kind of conversations, especially before the meeting and after the meeting, you do hear some of that. But I, myself, try and keep the topic on UFOs. I just got back from North Dakota. I was out there for a day. We had a situation in the middle of April. I think it was April 18th. A farm kid, a mile and a half off Interstate 94 near a town where I started my teaching. I was teaching high school science and math. That was what I did for my career. I'm retired now. And this kid, it's calving time, and this farm kid gets up at midnight and walks out into the pasture, and he sees these lights off in the distance. He thinks, guys, somebody's out there with spotlights shining deer. You know, that's what they call it, to blind them and shoot them at night. And
well, that sounds sporting.
No. And he comes up over this hill, and there's this craft, big triangle, sitting on the ground, apparently, and it's flashing lights. He said the windows were kind of a light blue color. The light, they looked like the windows had the shape of sort of like eyes, oval, with to a point. There were three of them. And this thing took off and went up and headed north a little bit and then just zipped away to the northwest really fast and created a sonic boom. You don't hear that very often. Well, I was out there for a different function and a pastor of a church and a relative of my wife running up to me, and they knew of my interest. So we went out there in the middle of the day tromping around, and we found, they had already found two of the landing pod impressions, and they found the third one. And so we all looked at it and oohed and aahed, and I came home and I got to thinking here a few days ago, I should go out and dig up a little bit of soil and take our Geiger counter. MUFON has a Geiger counter, and I drove to Minneapolis to get that. And there was no radiation at this location. My old radium dial wristwatch from high school gave a way higher reading than what we were getting out there. And you know, but we did dig up the sod, so to speak. We had about 15, 18 inch round circle of sod from each of the landing point depressions. I've got them here in the back of the truck. I don't know for sure what we're going to do with them, but there are cases where there have been changes not only in the soil but in vegetation that is created by some energy, whatever it is, that comes out of these things. So I've got that, and I'm going to be we took a bunch of pictures, and MUFON has those. There'll be an article written by the North Dakota State Director in a future issue, and the interview with the kid, actually the high school kid.
Great.
So I've been in on that, and there's situations in Minnesota all the time. There's a girl, young married girl, in this general area, I'll say, that many years ago was in a car with a group of girls. This UFO was quite close to them. They felt maybe it was chasing them or pacing them, and they got pretty panicky. And I got a call from this lady. She got my name from our website, and I went up and talked to her, and she certainly seemed honest to me. And here just recently, not too long ago, I got a call that she found herself at night. She woke up standing in the middle of the room. Well, for me personally, that reeks of abduction.
Right.
And got another call from her just a few days ago. She was driving, daylight, did see something. She said it looked like a hang glider, except that it was going a little bit too fast for a hang glider, and passed in front of her going east to west, I think it was. And so I've got to get out and talk to her again. And I've had a former student or two that's been in one. You know, it's a strange phenomenon. It just never quits. And we think we know what the agenda is. It's the abduction, the creation of a hybrid species of some kind, apparently, according to some of the researchers. And you probably know this, too. I mean, the intent is apparently they want to live amongst us and in the process.
Sure, and I hear the hybrids get better gas mileage.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Now, how often do you have meetings that people
once a
can
month.
Attend?
Yeah, once a month.
Okay, and in Minnesota here, when is that meeting usually held?
It's always on the second Saturday of the month, and currently we're meeting at the New Brighton Family Service Center.
Okay. Great. So for people that are interested, they can check out your website.
Yeah, give directions.
And come out and join you. And there's, you said there's about 40, 45 people strong in the Minnesota chapter, correct?
Yeah,
you can get anywhere from about 10 to 30 people that show up to the actual meetings?
Yeah, we've had as many as 45.
Great.
And if we grow much more, we'll have to get a larger room someplace.
Great. Well, I will be at the next meeting because I'd love the chance to meet with you and sit down and say hi. And
you bet.
We'll do our part here to help spread the word about MUFON and help you, you know, hopefully grow the chapters. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have experiences with UFOs, if you'd like to learn more about UFOs, then I encourage you to get in touch with MUFON.com, which is the main website, which can tell you all the different chapters and how to contact them. Or if you're here in Minnesota and you'd like to join up, you can make sure to join us every Saturday, and that's at the New Brighton Family Center.
The second Saturday of the month.
Mr. Moss, I appreciate your time. I thank you very much for joining us here on the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Hopefully we can have you on here in the future, maybe with a couple of the people that you've worked with in the past that have been abducted. We can kind of talk to you and them about the different experiences that they've had.
I don't know if they do that or not, but we can try.
All right. Well,
okay.
You check with them and talk, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moss.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. And for other people that are interested, you know, one of the bigger benefactors for MUFON is Dan Aykroyd. He's actually a lifetime member. And Dan Aykroyd, most of you might recall back in the early 90s, was actually the host of a paranormal TV show. He's very well educated, very well spoken, and has a firm belief in UFOs. As a matter of fact, I believe it's at the end of this month, on the 31st, Dan Aykroyd is releasing a DVD called Dan Aykroyd Unplugged. And it's all about his theories and belief in UFOs. You can Google that, check it. I'm not quite sure where you can buy it. I think you can buy it directly from the website where they talk about it, but it's Dan Aykroyd Unplugged. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We've got a great guest coming up for you here right after the break. We're going to be talking to Jerry D. Coleman, who is the author of two fantastic books, Strange Highways and More Strange Highways. We'll be here to talk to him about his research and the different stories that he's been able to collect from across the United States. We'll do that right after this.
Riveted to the edge of your seat? Good. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
This is Dave Schrader from the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Each week, we delve into the web of the unknown and deal with a lot of scary subjects. But nothing makes my blood run colder or scares me more than dealing with technology. That's why we turned to the experts when we wanted our website for the show set up and maintained. In the studio with me is Don Raleigh, owner of Evolve Systems. Don and his exceptional staff were easy to work with and made setting up our site a breeze. Don, what is it that sets you apart from other web developers?
Well, Dave, we make your business visions come to life by creating, maintaining, and hosting all of your internet needs. We do this by listening to our clients. We offer programs and price plans to fit any budget. And Dave, I mean any budget. Call us at 651-628-4000 and put us to work for you.
Call Don at Evolve Systems, 651-628-4000. I did, and I couldn't be happier with the results.
That's because we take the ugh out of technology, Dave. Call us today at 651-628-4000 or visit us on the web at www.evolve-systems.com. Serving the entire United States. That's Evolve Systems, helping you to manage change. Cheers.
If you read Tap's Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Tap's Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
They're hardly beautiful and barely average. In fact, when they were both born, the doctor slapped their moms instead of them.
I will slap you so hard you end up in the Ming Dynasty.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'd like to welcome our friends from Australia on Ghost Radio X and all of you listening across the internet on www.darknessradio.com. Please help spread the word about our radio show live every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to midnight Central Time. Let people know about us. Let's get more listeners out there. And please, we also encourage you to join in on our bulletin boards if you go to our website at darknessradio.com or paranormalradioshow.com. On the homepage, you can click on the Discuss tab, and there you can join our burgeoning bulletin board and come on there and talk with other like-minded people about the paranormal, everything from UFOs, Bigfoot, Loch Ness, Tim's eating habits, anything kind of strange and weird.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Let's only talk about my eating habits in a certain portion of the bulletin board called Tim.
That's right.
Gorge your family.
We've got our first guest here, or I guess our second guest actually for the evening, is Jerry D. Coleman. And Mr. Coleman has been an investigator of the unexplained for more than 30 years and has written numerous articles for newspapers, magazines, including past appearances in Fate Magazine and others. He was also the creator of the popular Myth or Real collector cards and has traveled all over the country as well as South America, Europe, and more in his quest for the unknown. He currently resides in Eastern Tennessee, works as a counselor for a center for troubled teens. Strange Highways was his first full-length work. And we have Mr. Coleman on the show with us this evening. Good evening, Mr. Coleman.
Hello, nice to be here. Hi, Dave.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us. Got your book. Thank you very much for getting this out to us. And we do have a couple copies of the book that we're going to be giving away this evening on the show as well. Also, we have some really great copies of the Myth or Real collector cards that Mr. Coleman sent in to us to give away to the listeners. So we'll be giving those away during the show. If you have questions for Mr. Coleman, you can give us a call at 612-375-1400. Again, that number is 612-375-1400. Or email the questions in, and Tim will make sure we get them in on the air. You can email those at dave@darknessradio.com. Mr. Coleman, with this book, now you've done two books. You've done Strange Highways and More Strange Highways, More True Stories of America's Unknown Creatures and Mysterious Happenings. What got you involved in paranormal and investigating these type of topics?
Well, originally in 1962, as a young man, I had seen what I thought was a UFO, and still to this day I believe that it was. And it was only an interest to me and something that I decided to pursue and investigate. And then in 1962, during just a kid's outing, basically, a fishing trip, we stumbled upon a ape footprint right by the creek bed, and that became the best evidence, many claim, of the NAPE. North American ape.
Okay. And that's what really kind of got you inspired into doing more research and kind of dedicating your life to this venture?
I mean, of course I had to make a living.
Sure.
And to support this activity. And my brother Lauren, he's a well-known cryptozoologist, and he had a big influence on me as well.
All right. What inspired you to start putting together the book? Was it just the collection of all the things that you'd been investigating through the years? Were they brought to you by other people? Where did you get this info?
No, most all of it. I'd say 95% of the book is my own investigations. And what really inspired it, I was going to write another article for Ghost Prairie Ghost, Troy Taylor's Whitechapel Press.
Sure.
And Troy said, you know, Jerry, you have enough information, investigations. Why don't you go ahead and compile a book? And so that's really what spurred me on.
And this is a Whitechapel Productions Press publication, so you can buy the book. It's available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble, all the major book lines. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And I believe we do have a link on our website. If you go to the website, click on the show, you can actually see the books, the front of the books there. Just click on them, and it'll take you right to the website where you can order those up. So you got involved with this. Tell us a little bit about the Myth or Real collector cards.
Well, those were there was at that time the X-Files was just coming out, the TV series,
right?
And I realized that no one had a set of cards like this. There were the baseball and football, but there wasn't any paranormal or cryptozoology cards that really took a serious look at it. I mean, you had the goofy little cards, you know, but the monsters movies and monsters and such as that, but there wasn't anything where there were like 40 in personalities and cryptozoologist personalities and a little bit of just a small slice of the paranormal. After I looked at it, and decided, after speaking with a couple school teachers and a professor, they thought it was a great idea, and I went ahead.
Great. Now, can people still get these cards? Are they available?
Yes, Whitechapel Press has those as well.
All right, great. So people can check in at Whitechapel Press, and they can order the copies of the cards. They are really cool. We've got some sets here. We've got both sets. As I said, we'll be giving them away during the show this evening to people that call in and email in questions. Now, with the book, you got the inspiration for doing the first book. You've got the second book out already. Are you working on a third book?
No, I'm putting that all on hold because I don't want to go over any of the past investigations and I wanted to produce something that was fresh and original, unique, and that's what I've done, and I'm not just going to throw another book together just for the sake of it.
Oh, that's great.
It'll take some time.
Wow, a writer with some actual chutzpah that can stick to not rehashing things? That's great. Now, tell us a little bit about Strange Highways. That was your first book. Tell us about some of the cases that you were able to explore in this book.
Well, that was my real baby. That was the one that started it all, and I decided there's in this world of cryptozoology and paranormal, people usually don't like to hear that those two words in the same sentence, but you can't avoid it. And I investigated UFOs and ghosts and even a witchcraft cult, the Jersey Devil, did some actual hands-on research into that, and investigation, went there, studied it, talked to some people, and as well as the Mothman and Bigfoot, just all your biggies.
Okay, great. So you've got a good coverage in the book. As I'm going through here, there's things like Homo anomalous, beastly bipeds from the archives, strange creatures, erratic animals, and more. Real life case studies from the only investigator on the scene, from the Lawndale Big Birds. Phantom Panthers, sightings and investigations from Illinois to Tennessee and beyond. There's Bigfoot, or Big Fake, which is a good chapter, too, and that covers Bigfoot sightings, the Patterson film, and more. Also on UFOs, first-person investigations, ghosts, glimpses, delving into the ETC syndrome, exaggerated time claimed and witnessed to the paranormal, witchcraft, Jersey Devil and Mothman, innocuous encounters, phantom attackers, occult superstitions and games, campfire conversations. It's a great book. It's a really neat topic. This came out in 2003, is that right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, great. And definitely, if you want to pick up the copy of the book, is called Strange Highways. It's written by Jerry D. Coleman. We're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to start delving into some of these topics with Jerry, and we'll be back right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I gotta pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
Howdy, this is Don Raleigh from Evolve Systems. Evolve Systems can't help you lose weight. We don't know anything about diamonds, and we can't help you save a boatload of money on your car insurance. What we can do is help you with your merchant processing. We work with small businesses to provide credit card processing, debit card processing, gift cards, and check acceptance. Whether you need a point-of-sale system, a credit card terminal, or want to accept payments over the internet, Evolve Systems will work with your small business to find the right solution for your merchant processing needs. Ask us how you can get a free copy of QuickBooks 2006. You can reach us at 651-628-4000 or on the internet at www.evolve-systems.com. Now you have a friend. Well, not yet, but give us a call at 651-628-4000 and we can chat. Evolve Systems, where we help you to manage change. This is Don Raleigh. Cheers.
2006 is here, and for many of you, another year has passed without treating you and your loved ones to a much-needed getaway. Rocky Shores Resort has just what you're looking for. Join owners Jerry and Kim Pipp at their family-themed resort that offers a heated outdoor swimming pool, volleyball court, playground, spacious lodge with games and activities for the whole family and more. With 6, 2, and 3-bedroom cabins that are affordable, comfortable, and fully furnished, and 12 seasonal RV sites, Rocky Shores Resorts is perfect for a private escape or for a family reunion. The resort's are located on the east shores of Bowstring Lake in the heart of the Chippewa National Forest. Here you can relax and enjoy nature in the Great North Woods, experience dozens of area attractions, and get hooked on some of the best northern perch, panfish, bass, and walleye fishing in northern Minnesota. Call 1-866-878-0101 to book reservations or check out their website at rockyshoresresort.com for more information. This year, don't ignore the call of the wild. Embrace it and enjoy yourselves. That number again is 1-866-878-0101. Rocky Shores Resort is open year-round. Call today.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
I could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Listen. It's your funeral. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of time.
We'd like to welcome you back to the darkness on the edge of town. Our guest this evening is the author Jerry D. Coleman, and is the author of two really great books. First one is called Exploring the Darker Side of America's Strange Highways, a guidebook to American mysteries and the unexplained. And also the second book is More Strange Highways, which covers more true stories of America's unknown cases and mysterious happenings. On the phone with us, we have Mr. Coleman right now. And again, if you have questions, you can call in with 612-375-1400, or you can email us questions at dave@darknessradio.com. And I do have a question here from Stephanie, also known as Sassy on our boards. She'd like to know, Mr. Coleman, she's read the synopsis about you on the Darkness site and was wondering if you could share with us tonight your most extreme interaction with the paranormal and explain how you were able to document this experience, for example, photos, audio, video. Also, if your most extreme and interesting experience is not documented because of lack of proof, she'd like you to share that with us too, just to kind of, you know, even though it's, I guess, more of like a hands-on version of the story.
Oh, okay. As far as the paranormal goes, it's almost impossible to really ever document it to the satisfaction of many. But I'd say that the strangest event, and it's in the book, Strange Highways, was there was an encounter there was a story of ghosts in this cemetery, and I went up there and to investigate it. Whenever the witnesses had said that they had been seeing this and feeling this, and I snapped a few photographs, and there's a photograph, there's a picture of it in the book, of just this. It looks like a smoky haze, but it's like the energy that you usually see in these types of photographs.
Sure.
And that would be some documentation, and then there were. Coincidences that were coupled that far surpassed a coincidence in my mind were that this lady, her car broke down, ran out of gas, and it stopped right in front of this cemetery. She walked up the hill. She had saw a light on the top of this hill, and as she approached the light, well, she realized that it was a reflection off of a gravestone. But there was no moon, there was no street light. I mean, this was out in Lysa Gorangeville, Rogersville, Tennessee. And as she approached this tombstone, well, the one that was lit up was, the name was Pierce. Well, that was her mother-in-law was named Pierce, and 3 days later she passed away. Now, you know, that's very impossible to document,
sure.
but it's eerie, and
what's the most extreme interaction you've had personally with the paranormal?
Well, the strangest case that comes to mind, but I wouldn't classify it as paranormal. I would classify it more as cryptozoological.
Okay.
Was going down Highway 72 up north by Chicago. Well, I passed what I thought was a black bag laying beside the road. And there were four other adults in the car with me, and one of them said, "Did you see that?" And I said,
the black garbage bag? And no, that was an animal. So I flipped around. I thought it was an injured dog is what first went into my mind. And as I turned around and I hit my bright lights, and it was just dusk. It wasn't even dark. And right in front of me, within, I'd say 15, 20 feet, this huge black panther stood up and walked directly across the road. I swung the car around again, parked right in front of it, and watched it walk down the shoulder of the road. I got out and followed it, and it jumped over a little embankment and into a cornfield. And I followed it up into there, and it disappeared. Simply disappeared. Now, I'm not saying into thin air, but it was gone. And that was quite unusual for me.
Now, is this a phenomenon, these black panthers?
You know, there was a case that I worked on in Arkansas, and at first, on the surface, the lady was calling me and emailing me, and then I went there and spoke to her in person, and she had seen this black panther three times in her backyard, and come to find out that it was something that she was, I thought it was something physical, like a cougar, a dark-colored cougar or something. I've had 400 reports of black panthers personally, and as it turned out, it was in her mind, and what she described later as just a spirit.
Okay, so she thought of it, she was seeing it more as a spirit of a black panther?
Correct, yes. Okay. But the way that it's hard to, that's why I said earlier, you know.
Where are black panthers more indigenous? Where do you feel that they come from? Or not where do you feel, but I mean, are they more only found in Africa? Are they prevalent here in the United States?
Well, the term panther throws a lot of people off. It's really the only thing that you see actually is a jaguar, and from South America, and there has been some come up into Texas before documented, but in my second book, More Strange Highways, I actually found a mounted black cougar in Cherokee National Forest, Cherokee Indian Reservation, and there's a photographs of that in there, and the story goes, the owner claims that the black cat was shot in Tennessee, and that animal is 6'2" long.
Hmm.
So they're huge. They're not the Jaguarundes that many of these researchers believe that's what people are seeing. But
what's a Jaguarundi?
That's a smaller. That's a South American version. It's like a large house cat, but it's wild, and they can be dark colored. They can be black. Most of them are tawny. But I know that the witness can distinguish whether this is a huge cat or a house cat.
Now, you know, there's a lot of people that are getting into exotic pets. Could it just be that somebody in the area owns black cats that are getting out?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that's why you have to go case by case and find out what is in the neighborhood.
Out of the 400 that you've actually investigated or heard about, how many of those do you feel have just been, it just turns out to be somebody in the area had a black cat?
I would say,
black panther, rather, I'm sorry.
Well, that's hard to say because the color itself throws you off in the evening or along the tree line or with the sun, even in the middle of the day with the sun behind you, just like whenever you're looking up in the sky at a bird,
mm-hmm.
and they look black, and I believe this is what people were seeing. But I charted all of those, and there were only 2% of the 400 that I could not explain.
Wait, let me get that right. 2% you could not explain, or 98% you could not explain?
No, sir, 2%.
So 98% of it you were able to explain away?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes.
So there's only about a 2% margin there of real kind of apparitional Black Panthers.
Of what I would say, yes. Of what I, yes.
Right. Well, we'd like to thank Stephanie for that question. As a matter of fact, Stephanie, what I'd like to do is I'll get you a copy of Strange Highways, autographed by Jerry Coleman. So if you could just email in your address to dave@darknessradio.com, we'll make sure to get out a copy of Strange Highways, autographed to you from the author. And then going forward now, you'd also mentioned that you did some hands-on investigation of the Mothman and of the Jersey Devil.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, I know Mothman was a pretty popular movie that came out a couple years ago with Richard Gere. What can you tell us about the Mothman? What's fact, what's fiction?
What's fact and what's fiction? That's a very good question. I know that that John Keel, he looked at it as a complete paranormal incident, and then many of the other investigators see it more as a cryptozoological and possibly total misidentification of a crane type animal. What I see it as is more than likely many of the witnesses probably did see or something along the a migrating crane or a large owl, but and the association with the if people were, I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with the Silver Bridge disaster that really ended it all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe that that was just put together there to end the story and drive the media away. Because whenever I went back down there, there were people that still claimed to be seeing it long after the Silver Bridge of 67, I believe. And what was really exciting and might throw it more, well, would definitely throw it more over onto the paranormal side was I was speaking with investigators. At that time, I lived in central Illinois, and I was speaking with investigators on the East Coast that were actually on the site and had been there. And during that time, on the telephone is when we were hearing this screeching scream from the from what we believed the only thing that we could assume that it might be was some kind of paranormal force that was creating this sound. And that is in the movie, actually. They put that in the movie, our conversation.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So this. So you believe, though, that most of the sightings of this purported Mothman are just these giant cranes?
Most of them, yes.
Okay. So can you give us a little background? I mean, what is the real philosophy of the Mothman? He appears before major disastrous events and is kind of a forewarning or a foreshadowing of something bad coming?
That's what Keel was trying to say, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't feel that that's really what's being represented?
No, I think that's too much assumption and too convenient to close the case. Because these people that are still seeing something over there, you can't just ignore them, you know.
Well, he's made appearances, though, or it has made more appearances at other disastrous events, I thought they've reported.
I don't know what that would be. I mean, I guess you could associate. There's disasters everywhere, so you could sort of associate it anywhere.
Okay. All right. How about the Jersey Devil? What can you tell us about the Jersey Devil?
Well, that's now, that was way back in the 1800s, and even Stephen Decatur, a well-known naval officer, shot at it with a cannon as it flew past his range. Well, and then it still continued on these sightings for years and years and years. I mean, I'm talking 200-300 years that it well, until now it still continues on. So then you have to ask yourself, well, is this really a creature, a family of creatures, unknown species or misidentifications, wishful thinking? All of this is thrown into the mix here.
For people that aren't familiar with the Jersey Devil, what exactly do people claim to purport to see? What is it that they're looking at?
Well, that's the fun part, and that's why a lot of it's thrown out as far by quote unquote real researchers of cryptozoology, because they report an animal that looks like a horse head, wings like a bat, a pointed tail or a divided tail, hoof feet, and stands about I believe, 4.5 feet tall.
Tim, isn't that your mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not even married.
Oh. Awkward.
I think I dated it at one time, though.
So it is almost like a satanic-looking creature.
Exactly, okay. Yes.
All right, but you're saying it's more of a flying bird, or?
Oh, I'm not saying that at all. I don't. I believe, and I write in the book that I believe it's quite possible that it was possibly just a poor deformed child that the family hid away from the public, and these stories were created.
Well, that makes sense. I know my kids are little devils. So,
and they have wings.
Yes, the horse face isn't my fault, though, Tim.
I know.
With the Jersey Devil, though, I mean, do they seem to? I mean, you're saying that it was in the 1800s that it was seen. I thought I've again read reports that the Jersey Devil is still making appearances.
Yes, yes, oh yes.
Okay.
In fact, the state park over there, the Barrens, they have Jersey Devil searches still to this day.
Okay, we have a question that was emailed into us from Bell. Go ahead, Tim.
Mr. Coleman, Bell asks, when you investigated the Jersey Devil, did you actually come across some evidence, some physical evidence, as opposed to what seems to be a lot of the urban legends that we've been talking about?
No. No, I did not find any evidence. I found associations of curiosities with like this name game of who first saw it and the counties that it was in and reported and but actual documentation or anyone interviewing a witness that actually claimed to have seen it, no. I interviewed a couple people that had heard strange noises, but that could be anything.
That was me and my little Jersey Devil.
Yes. Well, Bell, thank you very much for writing in with that. We'll go ahead and we'll get you a copy of More Strange Highways, the sequel, autographed by Jerry Coleman. So if you could just email in your physical address to us at dave@darknessradio.com, I'll make sure to get a signed copy of More Strange Highways sent out to you. Now, so what you believe that that's just all the Jersey Devil is, and so far, you know, or your belief is that it could have just been a deformed child.
Well, that's one of them. That's one of my beliefs. That, or it could just be mass hysteria that you see quite often. In those days, there were a number of like you touched on before, exotic animals, and with no laws to protect this or discourage it. So, I mean, who's to say what was really roaming down in the woods 200-300 years ago, in there.
Now, it seems that you approach a lot of these cases from a skeptical point of view. You're apparently not going in a blind believer that characters or events have occurred.
Absolutely. That's the good news that I've heard from my books, is that I'm not a believer. I'm not a total skeptic. I'm not trying to debunk this stuff. I'm just trying to get to the truth and the facts, and tell the story, and then let the reader decide for themselves.
Excellent. Yeah, I know that's a refreshing look, and I appreciate that myself, because, you know, so many people seem to take one stance or the other and beat you to death with it, almost like a religion. You have to believe that this is what it is. So it's refreshing to hear that you've actually taken the approach of kind of, you know, trying to logically look at all the different variations and let the reader decide for himself what he feels.
Right. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, I've tried to do that, because I grew up on reading one person's point of view, where it felt to me like they were trying to brainwash you into this belief or this faith that almost becomes a religion. And
sure.
And it far surpasses that, and you can't divide the. I mean, it's a fact that I say that there's a Bigfoot, but it's not necessarily the truth. It's a fact that I just said that, but it's not necessarily the truth, you see.
Were you helping President Clinton with his denial speeches with Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah.
I said that there was a girl. I just didn't mean that I had sex with her.
Yeah.
There was no desk.
That's right. Now, for people that are interested in the book, I'm looking in your book here, and it says that you can check it out by going to history. historyandhauntings.com, which is visiting Whitechapel Productions on the net. And again, that's History and Hauntings, all spelled out, History, A-N-D, Hauntings.com, to go ahead and try to get a copy of the book there. And or you can buy it just about any bookstore or online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, stores like that, correct?
Yes, uh-huh. Okay. Walden's, anywhere.
Walden's. Yeah. All right, excellent. And with the book now, you have, you know, we've just covered quite a bit in here about Bigfoot, or, you know, I mean, some of the different creatures. What's your theory on Bigfoot? Do you believe that there is something out there walking around us that we just don't know about yet?
I believe it's possible. But if it is, I don't believe that you're going to find Bigfoot in Tennessee, like some claim. I don't think that you're going to find a skunk ape in Florida. But as far as like the Patterson film, which is what everyone hangs their hats on, and it is hard to ignore that.
I've read, again, surveys here and there where they've said that they actually have debunked it, and that on his deathbed he came forward and admitted to faking it. Have you heard that? Do you have any understanding of that?
I've never heard that said by anyone except someone trying to use it as an argument, but they can't back it up. No, Patterson never said that, and Mark Chervinsky, that just passed away last year, and he was the editor and owner of Strange Magazine.
Okay.
And he was very thorough with an examination of this whole event, the Patterson film, and spoke to John Landis about it, and stated that there was a makeup artist out there that had claimed to have made the Bigfoot costume during the Planet of the Apes and wanted to test it out. Well, this is what a lot of skeptics believe, and of course the believers say, no, it's impossible. NASA's looked at the film, and we didn't have the knowledge to make a suit like that in those days in 1967. So, you know, that argument is going to go on forever.
Well, I hear there's now some new video of Bigfoot with Paris Hilton, but it's all done in night vision.
Hey now!
You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Our guest this evening is the author Jerry D. Coleman, and Jerry is the author of a book called Strange Highways, a guidebook to American mysteries and the unexplained. We're going to be back after the top of the hour in news. We'll be talking to him about his sequel to that book, More Strange Highways, which covers more true stories of America's unknown creatures and mysterious happenings. So, Jerry, if you can stick with us through the break, we're going to be back. We'll talk to you more about that. We also have some other news to pass on. And please, if you do have an interest in picking up the book, his name is Jerry Coleman, Jerry D. Coleman, the author of Strange Highways and More Strange Highways. You can check him out at Amazon.com, at BarnesandNoble.com, any of the major booksellers, or you can click on the links at our website to take you right to it. Thank you very much for tuning in.